Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. I am Tom, alcoholic, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Check out all of our podcasts, all of our podcasters podcasting locally. Podcast is also brought to you by The Nook. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, 7 days a week. Painter's Mill, located off of Cave Neck Road. Great, great food, great people. Just look for the big tent. Tent, and it's not a circus. How's everybody doing? Monday morning, December 7th. Does December stress you out? It stresses me out. This whole time of year stresses me out so much that I'm so busy stressed out that I don't even realize time's passing by. I'm so consumed with whether it's Christmas, Thanksgiving, the holidays. I mean, by the time I pull my head out of my own ass, it's freaking February. And I start stressing like, oh, summer's on its way, even though I like summer. So it's managing that. Went for a great run this morning with a friend of mine, Brian. I'll run with anybody. People, oh, I see you're out there running. Yeah, you want to run? Yeah. So I ran with another friend of mine, Brian. Lewis Cycle Sport. Great guy, family man, small business owner. And, you know, going through the same shit. You know, it doesn't matter who we are. We're all human. You know, he told me this morning, I run for the mental medication of it. You know, his version and my version are completely different, but the results are absolutely the same. I'm not living, we're not living unless we are suffering. So I had a good suffer session this morning. Feel good. It's cold. 100 reasons not to run. And the one reason to run, Brian showed up. Brian showed up. And that's why I make these commitments. And that's what he said. Hey, man, I would have if I hadn't committed to this with you, I wouldn't be here. And I was like, yeah, me too, man. Because believe me, it was cold and dark and got up at 5. I wasn't feeling it. But so thankful that I was able to do it. And that's, you know, that's whether it's sobriety, early sobriety, late sobriety, all time sobriety, or running, or whatever it is. You know, well, the one thing that I learned, especially from getting sober, is that, you know, it takes a group. It takes a village. You know, I talked the other day about, you know, getting involved. But before all of that shows up, actually, I don't know if, I'm not sure what happens first, showing up and getting involved or really becoming, looking at our honesty. Probably, actually, I take that back. Showing up and getting involved shows up first. Honesty usually shows up a little later. I mean, just when we think we have it all figured out, we've been showing up, being a part of, shaking hands, and next thing you know, we start questioning, am I really an alcoholic? And that's when honesty has to show up.
That set him free. after 3 days in the ground. Oh, and if I die before my time, oh, sweet sister of mine, please don't regret me if I die. Bartender, please fill my glass for me. Will you wine your gate, Jesus, that set him free after 3 days in the ground? Bartender, please fill my glass for me. Will you wine your gate, just that set him free after 3 days in the ground. In the ground.
I love that. I love that lyric. And that was my last, it wasn't my last drunk, but that was my last, it was my last drunk. I mean, bartender, please. That was it. It was last call. Bartender, please give me two. I was so obsessed with alcohol that it wasn't that I needed one. I wanted one, and then I needed another one. I needed two more drinks at last call. With this arrogant, condescending, annoying cackle coming out of my mouth. Give me another one, blah, blah. Fucking total asshole. And someone punched me in the face. Dropped to the ground. Bartender, though, please. And I remember looking over, down on all fours, blood pouring out of my mouth, looking to the right, down those dirty old hard wooden floors, down the bar, and here comes the bartender. Bartender, please help me. Help me. That's what I was saying in my head. I was still actually fascinated that blood was actually pouring from my mouth. Looking over, and as the bartender approached me, and I thought to myself, this is how self-centered, self-absorbed I was. He's my friend. He'll help me. And that bartender picked me up and threw me out the fucking front door. And there I was, me, myself, and I, in the ultimate shame game. Embarrassed, full of shame. You know, I shared it was years before I realized that I didn't come into this program because I wanted to get sober. I came into this program because I didn't want to explain to the people, my friends at work, because those were my only friends, the people that I worked with. It was a forced friendship. I didn't hang out with anybody after work or out of work. So I didn't want to explain to my friends, air quotes, of what happened to my face. So I hid at the hospital for 5 days and avoided it. Shame, guilt, fear. But I always thought, oh my God, I want to get sober. You know, I wanted to read, I'm going to read just a little bit of it because it is a, it says, this is called How It Works, and it's on the fifth chapter, and I'm only going to read a couple, I don't even know how much I'll read, but it's important because, you know, AA or whatever sort of program, you know, you might be involved in, but, you know, they don't use words like surrender, they don't use words like give up, they don't use words like, you know, I can't. They use better words. So it says, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program, usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates, they are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. That's it. I don't know how many times it uses the word in these next couple paragraphs, but honest appears to be a big deal. You know, the idea of me coming into this program because I drank too much, because I was exhausted of lifting vodka to my mouth, I just thought my life could be better, what didn't exist. But punch me in the face and introduce shame and guilt, and all of a sudden I become very open to new ideas. But it's my job, through working through this program and working with people in this program, working with the sponsor, that I start to learn and to become honest. You know, at this point, it doesn't matter what got me here, right? It's just that I'm here. And that's the first step. You know, there's a whole lot of things that are in place to help the people that just aren't quite sure and that are on the fence. And there are suggestions. You know, show up, shake somebody's hand. I mean, I remember coming into the program. I don't know. I couldn't remember the last time I had shaken somebody's hand and looked them in the eye. And I wasn't getting some sort of drunk or alcohol or drug. It didn't matter why I was there. It didn't matter whether I understood why I was there. All that mattered at that moment is that I was there. And then I was hungry and starving to be part of something. I wanted to be part of something. And when that first person said good morning or good evening or whatever it was and shook my hand, I was part of something that I hadn't been part of in a long time. And it felt good. I didn't realize it, though. I didn't understand any of it. I just, hey, thanks, yeah. And I remember when, you know, the guy said, I'm going to be your temporary sponsor. And I was like, okay, I'm a part of something. And taking on commitments and showing up for coffee and then taking meetings into, you know, rehabs and taking meetings into jail. These were all things I became a part of, a group of men that would do these things. And it was great. I hadn't been a part of anything. But what I had to start also understanding is I had to start being honest. And I think one of the first things that people struggle with is the fact that they still wish they could drink. I still miss drinking. I wish I could drink. That's just being honest. I mean, it's pretty shallow honesty, but I mean, that's, you know, it's like, that's the truth. I wish I could drink. You know, I see the commercials, you know, this is definitely the time for a lot of alcohol commercials. I can tell you that this period, November and December, was the worst for me. Because the other 10 months, I could drink, stay out of the way, not have confrontation, not be around people. But November and December, there's like holidays and parties, and it was really... If I think about it right now, I think, oh my God, that was so much fun. But it's not the case, if I'm going to be honest. It was awful. Always tears, always fighting. I was an angry drunk. Bitter, angry. Probably because I was so disappointed in myself. Maybe I felt like I had no hope. Because, of course, I wasn't the drunk that slept in the street or, you know, drank wine out of a brown bag or was homeless. I was a functioning alcoholic. I had a job. My family hadn't completely kicked me to the curb. I did not have a person in my life as far as like a wife or a girlfriend because I wasn't capable of being in a relationship. And I couldn't ask somebody to be in a relationship with me. It was just too much of a mess. Because if you were in a relationship with me, you were going to end up trying to or partake in drinking like me. And that's not pretty. That's an ugly situation. So in the end, I just ended up either hanging out with fucked up people or nobody at all. But this time of year, man, you know, exposed it. And I think it happens for a lot of people. We can only hide it so long. You know, I don't go, oh, geez, I'm going to go to a party with a bunch of people. Maybe I shouldn't drink tonight and just keep it chill. Nope. Nope. Drink. You know, as the night or day goes through or goes on, you know, the amateurs fall away. And then in the end of the night, all that's left are the professional people. And then that's when the shit gets going, because then you're so drunk, but you're still out and doing stuff. And next thing you know, it's a DUI or it's an inappropriate saying or touching or whatever it is that alcohol has created, the arrogance that appears with the alcohol. And all of a sudden you're at another level, right? And then shame and guilt shows up. I mean, I don't know how many people have said that they're not drinking anymore after a Christmas party. I'm sure it's a high number. But that wouldn't even stop me. I do miss drinking, but I love being sober. It's not as exciting. There's not as much thrill. You know, I love a good car crash. I love a good broken screen door. I love a good busted coffee table. You know, I love a good spill. But I love to get up at 5 a.m. and run with a friend who is an acquaintance. He actually owns a bike store. We just bought, you know, we got to buy my daughter a bicycle for Christmas. And, you know, I only try to support local. So love this guy, love his business, love his, you know, great, you know, small business owner. I love it. So we bought the bike, but, you know, and then, but I love the fact that I can get up at 5 a.m. and go run with Brian. And he shared some stories with me, and, you know, we're all the same. Nobody's special. Maybe some people have more money, but we're all dealing with the same shit. Kids, business, money. Redefining happiness. You know, ask a 30-year-old what happiness is, and then ask a 40-year-old what happiness is, and then ask a 50-year-old. I bet the answer is a little different. But that's just, you know, a gift of being sober. The gift of being sober is the world really opens up to me like I think the world should, you know? I tell my kids, you can do anything you want to do. What is it you want to do today? The world is your oyster, right? And you can do anything you want to do. It's just as we get older, we start to, it's weird when I think about, like, as a kid, you know, and I talk to my kids and they're like, yeah, I can do, you know, there's no issues. And then, you know, life starts to creep in and we start to gather and collect things, right? Hiccups, mental things. Things that suppress us, depress us. Things that inspire us. Life shows up and then it starts to create our path. Then we build an audience, you know, we start to have issues, and then the people that deal with our issues or that can handle our issues stick around. The other people that think our issues are full of it, they split, and then we finally start to shape our path with people that support us and support our goods and our bads. And then by the time we're, I don't know, 20, 30, We have a list of things that don't work in our lives and a list of things that do. And without these, I can't. And with these, I can. It's like a whole deal. But I know the first thing I thought when I got sober is, listen, my whole thing was drinking and driving. Drinking and driving. There's a lot of things. There was a whole lot of other things. But my main thing was drinking and driving. I did get one DUI, but I could have had 100 DUIs. I got behind the wheel after I had been drinking so many times. Shame on me. I couldn't stop. And when I got sober, the first thing I remember was thinking is, I'm driving down the road sober, and it's dark. That was a big deal for me. I had to start falling in love with these other things, like driving sober, you know, waking up and not coming to, you know, getting through the holidays and not having, you know, those things were a big deal in the beginning. I don't consider, you know, those great moments anymore. It hasn't happened in such a long time. I don't use those as fuel for me to stay sober anymore. I've said, you know, I had to start falling in love with being sober and less being afraid of drinking. I mean, if there's anybody, how many people out there that are sober that still worry when the fucking hammer's going to fall? I mean, when I was in my addiction, I always was like, I don't know when, but something bad's going to happen. You know, whether it's a car crash, saying something, doing something, something. Something bad is going to happen probably 3 or 4 times a year. Quarterly. I mean, it was like clockwork, you know? I knew I was going to drink every day, depending on whether I stayed at home or went out. You know, whether it's a DUI, a fight, getting punched in the face by the bartender, you know, trying to buy crack. I don't know, whatever it is, something bad was going to happen. You know, and I still, I mean, I'll, this month, in, what's it is, 7th and what, 15 days, I'll celebrate 12 years of sobriety. And I still have this, like, feeling in the back of my mind that I'm going to do something. Oh, you're going to do something. You're going to fuck this up. I fucked up so many things. I still, it's like I have post-traumatic stress disorder because of my alcoholism. I have stress disorder from my own bad behavior. You know, every time I get a text, I'm like, what's the text going to be? Is this a bad text? Every time I get a phone call, is this going to be a bad phone call? You know, we were driving the other day and there was a cop, there was a state cop right behind me. We were at the light. I mean, he's sitting directly behind me. And I told my wife, I go, God, I don't know. I still, you know, it always gets me a little, you know, sketchy when there's a cop behind me. But I have, I'm not doing any drinking and drugging. My car's up to date. My car payments are up to date. I have insurance. I have all the stuff that I'm supposed to have. I even have tint on my windows and I have a waiver. I'm covered. But still, I'm like, oh, maybe there's something from my past that he's going to find. Whatever it might be, I don't even know. I still freak out. And I'm like, I mean, not as much. And that's, you know, like yesterday, I actually told my wife, it feels good to not worry about that shit anymore. But that was real. That was real. I don't know. I guess this podcast is really about being honest. Me, whoever, You know, be honest. That's what I had to do. I have to do it. I have to be honest. I have to really understand why I'm doing something, because that shit will pop up and will surprise me. You know, when I came in, I was like, I want to be sober. The reality is I want to stop getting caught. And the reality is at some point I would realize I really miss drinking. And then then that voice shows up and says, look how good you've done. And I don't really have a true, honest understanding of why I'm doing what I'm doing in the first place. And the next thing you know, I'm fucking drinking. Luckily, I made it back. But today, it's about being honest. And I'm not great at it. But understanding that it's okay that I came in here because I really just wasn't very good at drinking and I got caught all the time. And it's okay that I miss drinking. I just have to make sure that I understand that it just doesn't work out for me. And that's okay too, right? That's okay too. Hey, oh shit, let me read real fast. I got to do another podcast, so let's see here. Today's Daily Reflection. True ambition. Sounds like an honesty thing, but let's see what it says. December 7th, true ambition. True ambition is not what we thought it was. True ambition is the deep desire to live usefully and walk humbly under the grace of God. During my drinking years, my one and only cancer. Oh, wait a minute. During my drinking years, my one and only concern was to have my fellow man think highly of me. My ambition in everything I did was to have the power to be at the top. My inner self kept telling me something else, but I couldn't accept it. I didn't even allow myself to realize that I wore a mask continually. Finally, when the mask came off, and I cried out the only God I could conceive, the fellowship of AA, my group, and the 12 steps were there. I learned how to change resentments into acceptance, fear into hope, and anger into love. I have learned also through loving without undue expectations, through sharing my concerns and caring for my fellow man, that each day can be joyous and fruitful. I begin and end the day with thanks to God, who has so generously shed his grace on me. Well, there it is. There it is. It's all being honest. Start to be honest, to understand why I'm here, whether it's as great looking as I thought it looked. Just being honest. You know, I wish my honest answer was I got sober because I just had enough. And I knew it was bad for me, so I said, that's it. But that ain't the way it worked. Every time I drank, I got caught at it. Especially if it was with somebody that, like an ex-wife. Every time I drank, I got caught at it. I was bad at it. That's why I got sober. I got caught. It was bad. And I made an attempt. But it was about being honest later on to figure out, you know, what that was about. Be honest.
Find that strong Judas from the dead. devil's tree is roots deep, deep in the ground. Bartali, you see, the wine that's drinking me.